Ervin Daf Pei Gimel. Ervin Pei Gimel, and we are on Pei Beis and Mabeis by the two dots. As I said, the first Amud today is one of those, four or five Amudim in Shas like this, relating to math and ratios of Chulu. This one appears also in Mesachas Ksubis. That's Amud Aleph, and then Amud Beis gets back to other, it's all Ervin, but let's see what we could do. Says the Mishnah. Again, there are also important halakha l'maisa ramifications at the Shem we will try to discuss. Says the Mishnah, Kamahu Shi'uro. What is the shear of an Eruv that you have to set, as we have been talking about? What's the shear of the Eruv Tchum, as we know, for each person involved? So Kamahu Shi'uro. So Mazon Shtei Sudas Kol Echad Ve'Echad. So you have to set two Sudos for each person, as we have mentioned, different than an Eruv Chaseros. Oh, just one ha'ara I saw last night, I have to mention. Can't hold myself back. It could have been mentioned any time, but I just saw it in the name of the Chushi Arim last night. We're talking about Masechta, about Tchumin, Chatzeros. Now we're in Tchumin, but we were talking about Chatzeros. In the first pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musar to Klal Yisrael and going through all the stories, so Dizahav, Chatzeros. What is Chatzeros? Which Aveira is referred to by Chatzeros? In the pasuk, in the first pasuk in Dvarim, so Rashi quotes Korach, next week's parsha, Machlekusom Korach. That's what's meant by Chatzeros, the illusion. Why? Explains the Chiddush Yerim, because Korach was all about separating and splitting and machlokas, and Chatzeros, in Eruv Chatzeros, Arev the Chatzeros, that's all about coming together and unifying. But he kept it as Chatzeros. He liked all different, he liked the Machlokas, he liked the separation of Ispali Korach, as the first Unkelus says on next week's Parsha. But that's why Chatzeros and the Eruv Chatzeros, it's all connected. Good, so maybe we'll mention that in the Parsha here next week, but anyway, just relates to our Masechta. Good. So what is the shear for Erev Tchumen, though, which is what we're talking about now, in contrast to Chatzero? So enough food, two meals per person. L'kol echad ve'echad. Two, and we will have four different opinions in the Mishnah. What does four meals mean? Mazono l'chol v'lo l'shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the first pshat. He says, a meal, the food that you eat on a weekday, not on Shabbos, right? We have different eating habits on Shabbos and weekday. So on weekday, not on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer l'Shabbos lo l'chol. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. For Shabbos, a Shabbos meal, not a weekday meal. V'zeh mizeh mizkavan l'hakel. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have kavanah to be mako. What does that mean? They each say, well, take this meal because it is smaller. It is smaller. How is it smaller? So Rashi explains, and the other Mefarshim explain, that, well, on the one hand, you eat less on a weekday, because Shabbos, the food is amazing, food is tastes better, as we'll mention in a second. So that's why the one opinion says, Remeir says, that you do it by a weekday meal. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, because you eat an extra meal on Shabbos, so each meal has less in it. Because Rav Chacham ate a barosha, hopefully you save room for Shalosh Udas, and therefore each meal is going to be less. And that is why the Shitos, both of the Shitos in the Mishnah, have Kavana to be Mekel. Remember the Gemara in Mesechas Beitza, in the beginning of the second parak, which talks about the unique element of Shabbos, the unique ingredient in the Shabbos food, and that is, of course, the Neshama Yisera. The Gemara says in Beitza Daf Tez Zayin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Neshama Yisera, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Neshama Yisera Nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'adam Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, a person gets the Neshama Yisera. Ula Motza'i Shabbos Notla Nosa Heimenu. And a Motza'i Shabbos is taken from us. But Neshama Yisera isn't just, what's a Neshama Yisera? It's in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Neshama Yisera. What is a Neshama Yisera? What does that mean? So Rashi, look at Rashi and Beitza there. Rashi says it means that the food tastes amazing and you don't get sick from the food on Shabbos. Rashi says, Rochav Lev Leminucha, Vila Simcha, Vilios Pasuach Lirvacha, Viyochal Vayishte, Veinafsho Katse Alav. The food has a unique element, right? Shalant on Shabbos and Shalant on Tuesday are different. Even if you make Shalant fresh on Tuesday, it's not going to taste the same. Why? Because that's Shabbos. The Shin Mikubetz is there in Beitza and the Eben Ezra also in Yisro, say maybe some more in the spiritual realm. Right, that you could focus on Shabbos and understand on Shabbos more. This is the Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Arizal, Chaim Vital, one of the Sifrei HaKabbalah say, an hour of learning on Shabbos is like learning for years on a weekday. The power of every minute that there is of on Shabbos. So Shabbos, they talk about in the spiritual realm, but Rashi seems to be focused on the physical realm. What's the source for Nishama Yaseira? So it's the Gemara. But the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Shenemar Shavas Vayinafash. As we say at the end of a Shamru, Shavas Vayinafash. Vayinafash can be read, Kivach Shavas. Once Shavas, once Shabbos is finished, Vay Avda Nafesh. Woe is me. Vayinafash. Vay. Woe is me. Avda Nefesh. Vayinafash. Like, we lost our soul. We lost our extra soul. That's why we have Besamim at the end of Shabbos, because to make us feel better. It is interesting that the source for Neshama Yaseira is from a phrase in the Torah that's referring to Al Derech Drush, Shabbos leaving. You would think that Neshama Yaseira, we would find a makar for the Knisa Shabbos. But the makar for Neshama Yaseira is found for by Yetziah Shabbos. Vay Avda Nefesh. I can't believe it's lost. Because many times we don't appreciate things until we're losing it, until it's at the end. So that's the makar, that we don't appreciate Shabbos all the time until Shabbos is leaving. Why is Shalosh Shudas such a unique moment on Shabbos as Shabbos leaves? Because there's something about that's when we start appreciating things. That's what human nature. Until we're about to lose something, that's why we don't appreciate it. Last week's parsha, we have the same idea, and that is the man. The man. What did it say? Where is the mon described at length? The mon is described at length not when we first start getting the mon in Bishalach. Last week's parsha, when they start complaining about it and they're in danger of losing it, Hashem's going to give them something else instead. Dafka, when it's going to be lost and we don't appreciate it, that's when we have to start appreciating it. So that's the Neshama Yaseira, Vay of the Nafesh. That is the Gemara right here. The Mishnah has the two different dayas about does one eat more on Shabbos or on a weekday. So machlokas about where one eats less, but they're both being lakula. Both being lakula here, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So now we get to the third and fourth opinion. The third opinion, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, Mikikar bapundion, you have to use a loaf, a kikar, that costs the pundion. If you go buy a loaf for a pundion, that's what's needed for your two meals on Shabbos. Midalit sa'im besela. When is this? When a four sa'ah challah. Sa'ah is a volume of flour. So when you could buy four sa'ah for a sela, when that's the going rate, a four sa'ah challah for a sela, so the challah that you have to leave for Erev Truman, meaning the two meals for Shabbos, is one that you could buy, a kikar that you could buy a pundion for. So if you do the math, there is a mnemonic. If you want to write it down, the way that you convert kurim and kavim and beitzim, if you write on a paper, kaskalov, kaf aleph samach kuf lamed bet, and under, on the next line, in between the two letters, you write Yagodu. Yud Gimel Vav Dalet Vav. Ka'atzkalav Yagodu. So that's the formula to figure out exactly how to determine. Because let's say the last, you have Yagodu on the bottom, that means if you take the end of Ka'atzkalav, Beitzim to Lugim, Beitzim to whatever the shear is, right? So you do times six, right? And you do, the number on the bottom is the ratio to the next volume on top. Kaskalov Yagodu. Anyway, but for our purposes, what do we need to know here? We need to know here that the Gemara talks about buying a kikar for a pundion. There are 48, the ratio of sla'im to a pundion. One pundion is 1/48 of a sela. Did the math on the side. Don't think I remember all of these numbers. One pundion is 1/48 of a sela. And the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's opinion is that when you could buy four sa'ah for a sela, so a four sa'ah for a sela, then one pundion could buy, and one other ha'ara, and one sa'ah equals six kav. Four sa'ah, which the Gemara's Mishnah is talking about, is 24 kav. So if you put all the math together, one pundion could buy a half a kav of a challah. So that's what's being referred to. One pundion is half a kav of a challah. Half a kav challah is two seudos on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So let's just break it down one more step. Each seuda on Shabbos is a quarter of a kav. That's the number that we have to remember that's important for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Each seuda on Shabbos is a challah that's the size of a quarter of a kav. The way we got there is because we broke it down from sla'im to pundions, from kavim to sa'az, and fill in the numbers. not higher mathematics, it's just filling in the numbers. So Lamaise, it comes out that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, each su'uda on Shabbos is a loaf that is made up of a quarter of a kav of flour. Good. And that's why you need half a kav for the two su'udos on Shabbos. That's opinion number three in the Mishnah. We're not going to focus really so much on the first two. We're going to focus on the third and the fourth. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon has a little different opinion. Shtei yados l'kikar. No, the amount that's needed is two-thirds of a loaf. Two-thirds of a challah. Well, which size challah? Mishalosh l'kav. When you could buy three challahs for a kav. When a kav of flour can make you three challahs. Meaning each challah is a third of a kav. But you need two-thirds of a challah for the meals, for two sudos on Shabbos. So you need two-thirds of the one-third of a kav. But how much is each meal, though? Each meal is one-third of the challah, because two-thirds of it are two meals, so one-third of it is one meal. So one-third of a challah, and the challah, each challah is one-third of a kav, so one-ninth altogether one-ninth of a kav is each su'uda. So, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we have a quarter of a kav challah is one meal on Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Shimon, one-ninth of a kav is each meal, right? A third of a third. Good. So that's the math for the Mishnah. Continue. The Mishnah just ends off saying, and this is also the shear of chetzi l'bayis hamenuga. We know tumas ohel applies not only for Tumas Mace, but also for Tumas Saras. If a person walks into a house that has Saras, so then he becomes Tame. He becomes Tame right away. What about his clothing? His clothing becomes Tame a few seconds later. How long? A few seconds later. A minute or two later. So, as long as it takes you to eat a certain amount of bread. And if you stay in the house that long, so then your clothing becomes Tame also. So that's what it means. Chetzia, half of this, L'bayis HaMenuga, for a bias that has Sara'as, that's as long as you have to stay in there enough to eat that, and in that would make the clothing Tame. And V'chati Chetzia, and half of that, L'fsolas HaGaviyah, on a Durabanan level. Food can make a person Tame. On a Daraisa level, a person cannot become Tame from food. Right, food, when is food ever tame avatoma? A person can only become tame from an avatoma. A person can become a rishon latoma on a d'oraisa level. But on a d'rabana level, there are a lot of tumas d'rabanan, right? Our hands are tame. Shnios, that's why we have to wash before we eat, going back to the days of truma. So here too, if somebody eats a tame food, they could become tame on a d'rabana level. Tosis here discusses whether this was instituted before the 18 items that we learned about in Masechta Shabbos, or before or after, when exactly it was. That's Tosis' discussion here, when it started. But either way, the Mishnah just adds those in. Those are also shiurim of bread. Good, says the Gemara. Ava, kama, mazon, shesudos. So, according to the first two opinions, how much are two meals? Right, we say, oh, it's a weekday meal or a Shabbos meal. But how much is two meals? So, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, tarti, rifta, ikar, yasa. Two loaves of ikar, yasa. Right, it says on the side, shame, makom. Name of a place, or maybe it means shepherds. Ravada Rava Amar Tarti Rifta Nar Papisa. Different place. Right? These types of loaves that were commonly known in those days. Right? Like Bizman Azeh. There are certain bakeries that everybody knows their challahs. So somebody would say, oh, this challah of that bakery. So we would know. We wouldn't have to explain it because everybody knows what that is. So in the days of the Talmud, these were known. Amale Rav Yosef, Lor Rav Yosef, Bray the Rava. Avuch Kaman Svirale. Your father Rava. Who did he hold like? Rabbi Meir Sfirale. He held like Rabbi Meir. He says, I know Nami Rabbi Meir Sfirale. Rabbi Yosef says, I also hold like Rabbi Meir. That says you go buy a weekday meal. De'ika Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, I find it problematic. Why? Because I think people always eat more on Shabbos. Ha da Amri Inshi. Don't people say, Ravcha Levesi Mashchiach. Ravcha, space. Space in the stomach. Levesima for something sweet. Shchiach is very common. Basically, this is the line in Shas which says there's always room for dessert. Ravcha levesima shchiach. That's what the Gemara means. Meaning you always eat more on Shabbos. The food is sweeter. The food is tastier. And you eat more. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, I hold like Rabbi Meir because I think weekday meals are always are always less. What exactly was the other opinion? As we said, each meal might be different because chachamena varosho, and you save your appetite. You want to save some room for shalashudas. As we've said, if you don't save room for shalashudas, what do the poskim say? It could be if I'm totally, totally stuffed and I can't get another morsel of food in my stomach. So then that's what's called an achila gasa. An achila gasa, an inappropriate eating that's beyond the pale of normal eating. So then that's not even called an achila. Right, we've mentioned that based on Tosas. Tosas in a few places in Shas. One in Maseches Nazir on Daf Chav Gimel. Tosfos there deals with a Gemara. The Gemara there in Nazir talks about the Pasuk in Hosea, where the Pasuk says that Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchu Bam Uposhim Mikashluvam. The ways of Hashem are just and correct, and those same ways, Tzadikim will walk in them, and Poshim, and those who are negligent, will fall in them. So where do you have something that's the same act that could be tzaddikim and poshim could be involved in? So the Gemara says, mashal. The Gemara gives a couple of mashalim. The first one, mashal shnei b'nei adam shetzalu es pischeyem. Two people are eating carbon pesach on erev pesach. Echad she'achlu l'shem mitzvah. One's eating it l'shem mitzvah's carbon pesach. V'yechad achlu l'shem achila gasa. And one's eating it l'shem achila gasa. Chilagasa, an overstuffed eating. The one who eats a l'shem mitzvah, tzadikim yalchubam. The one who eats a l'shem achilagasa, poshim ikashluvam. So that's the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? Amar le reish lakish. Hi, Russia karisle. You call this guy a Russia just because he's eating a current Pesach l'shem achilagasa? Nehi delo avid mitzvah min amuvchar. Pesach mi akavid. Fine, he's not the greatest tzaddik in the world, but he's eating current Pesach l'maisa. So what do you see from the Gemara? The assumption of the Gemara is that achila gasa is called an eating. Says Tosas right there. But you have a Gemara in Maseches Yuma, which says that if you eat achila gasa on Yom Kippur, you're not chayef kares. So you see, it's not called an achila. So which is it? Is eating something when I'm stuffed eating or not eating an halacha? Says Tosas in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Trei Inyanai achila gasas yesh. The source of the Brisker Derech is right here in Tosas. There are two types, Svei Dinim of achila gasas. There's one type of achila gasa that we know, I'm full, but you know, there's always room for dessert, as we just said. There's always room for jello, whatever it is, there's always a little bit more room. That's an achila gasa, but that's called an eating. Maybe it's not the best derech eretz, but, you know, it's called an eating. But then there's another type of achila gasa where I cannot move. I cannot move, I ate, you know, somebody went to a smorgasbord and they really overdid it. And they cannot fit another morsel of food, and if they take anything else, they're going to be sick. And maybe they'll even throw it up. That's an achila gasa. That is not called an eating. Halachically, that's what you're putter for on Yom Kippur v'chulu. But there's two types of achila gasas. We shouldn't even get to the first type of achila gasa. But that's what we have to, that's what Rabbi Yehuda would answer back to Rav Chalav Asim HaShriach. But still, we leave room on Shabbos for Shalashudas, right? We have Chachamein HaBarosha. Good. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka Omer. Here we go. So, the Gemara says, remember, just to review, the last two opinions. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka said that how much is each meal on Shabbos? A quarter of a kav challah. What does Rabbi Shimon say? A ninth of a kav challah. So the Gemara says, Tana, v'krovim divrayim liyoshavin. The shitas are very close together. Says the Gemara, really? Me dummy. Are they similar? The Rabbi Yehuda are basu dasa l'kava. Rabbi Yehuda says you could get four sudas out of a kav, right? Each challah is a quarter of a kav. The Rabbi Shimon teisha sudas l'kav is 1/9, which means 9 per kav. So what do you mean? That's not so close. 1/4 and 1/9? They're not so close. So Amar Rav Chisda, okay, you got to bring them closer together. Tsei mehen shlish l'chenvani. No, you're missing. When we said these prices and values in the Mishnah, you have to add on a little bit more. Because we're talking about how much the flour costs. But the baker buys the flour and then he has to sell it to you for some profit. So you're going to get less challah. Right, what we said about these numbers of a, you know, it's not exactly straight. He's going to keep some profit for himself. And therefore, a half isn't 2 sudos, but 3 sudos. So each suda really is a sixth. A sixth, not a ninth. So, a sixth to a quarter. So the Gemara says, V'yakati lamar tish lamar shis. You're still off. It's still 1/9 and one, I'm sorry, the first opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Broka changed. Right, so you went from 1/4 to 1/6. But you still, 1/6 to 1/9 is still not the same. Elakid after Rav Chisda. Okay, look at the other statement of Rav Chisda to Amar. Seimehen mechsa lechenvani. Don't take off a third for a chenvani, but take off half for a chenvani. So now you've bumped it up to eight, an eighth. So now, v'akati lamar teisha lamar timni. So still, Reb Shimon holds that you could get nine chalas for a kav. And Reb Yochanan ben Brocha says you could get eight chalas for a kav. L'maisa, what you, the customer, is going to get. Hainu tekamar v'krovin devrim liyoshavim. That's what it means, that they're close. They're close. One says eight and one says nine. I kasha the Reb Chisda, the Reb Chisda. One Reb Chisda says a third and one Reb Chisda says a half. In terms of what goes to the chenvani, he takes off some profit. Lokasha had to kaya balabai sivi had to lo ya balabai sivi. Well, it depends if the customer provided the wood for the oven. If the customer provided the wood for the oven, then the baker will give you a little more because he didn't have to spend his own money to for the wood and the fuel. But if you didn't, then he's going to give you less. That's the difference between a half and a third for the two Rav Chisdas. Good. Chetzi lebaisa menuga v'chati chetzi lebsolas akvia. Yeah.
Why do we only get... What is the
so the Gemara, that's a question I was thinking of too. Why do we only put that in Rav Chisda for Rav Shimon, for Rav Yochanan ben Brocha, not for Rav Shimon? The Gemara assumes that that's... He was, the first opinion was not taking that into account, while the second one was already. I had the question too. I looked around and I didn't really see a clear cut. Let's do more research. So the Mishnah said that these ratios are not only important for Eruv, but they're important for Bayis HaMenuga and Levsolos HaGviya, Tana. And the Brisa adds on another element. We've had half and half of a half, a quarter. Now we have V'chatzi Chatzi Chatzia. Right, you go one down more, an eighth. V'chatzi Chatzi Chatzia L'tame Tumas Ochlin. For Tumas Ochlin. What does that mean, Tumas Ochlin? So everybody, all Rishonim agree, in order for a Tame food to be Metame something else, so it has to have a certain shear. That's for sure. So that's the shear that we're talking about here. Right? Latame Tumas Ochlin. To be Metame others. The big machlokas Rishonim is there a shear for food to become Tame? What if you have a tiny amount of food that touches a dead body? Right? Is there a minimum shear for food to become Tame? Food to make something tame, everybody agrees, has a shear. What about to become tame? So, says the Rambam, there is no shear mida oraisa. There is no shear. Says the Rambam, nichlas tumas ochlin in the fourth parak. Kama shear ochlin latuma. Latumas atzman kol shehen. Any amount. Afilu shumshum, even the size of a sesame seed. O chardal, or a mustard seed, mistame, says the Rambam, can become tame. Right, we have to know this, as we always say, not only the Kohanim, but if I have a little bit of food that I found a dead insect on, touching. So let's say I brush off the insect. Let's say I'm going to cut off that piece that touched it. So first of all, is the rest of the food tame? Let's say it is. But how big? What's the minimum shear? So the Rambam holds that there is no minimum shear when it comes to becoming tame. Shneamar mikol ha'ochel asher yachel kol shehu. The ein ochel tame mitame ochel acher o mashkin o yadayim asheyia bo kebetza below klipasa, a shelled egg. Right, that's the size of a shelled egg, that's the shear to be matami others. But to be matami itself, so that is no shear. And Rashi and Tosas in a few places in Shas argue and they say no. Just like the shear to making something tami is a beitza, becoming tami is also a beitza, and if the food is less than the size of a beitza, so then it would not become tami. Not become tami. The Mishnah Melech here has a fascinating question. He says, Nistapakti! According to the Manda Amar, like Rashi and Tosfos, that food does not become tame unless it's a beitza. What if you have a half a beitza of food and a half a beitza of food, and they each became tame, meaning they didn't become tame, but they came in contact with tuma, and then you put the two half beitzim together? Do they become tame now automatically because they each had this tuma ravsa alal, right? They had this tuma in potential, and therefore once they become the shear, we say that it kicks in. Or do you say no? Because at the moment of the transmission of the tumah, they did not become tameh, so they don't become tameh. That's his shaila. L'manda amar de'ochel pachad b'kebeitza eina makabal tumah im shnei chatzoi beitza nitzmu'u kol echad b'fnei atzma v'chazru v'nistarfu v'nasu kebeitza yavi tmeyim o dilma kibet b'shas kabalas ha'tumah lo haya bo kashir nibsa shalo kibel tumah v'yem keim ki nistarfu akach eina malu morin. Or he says an even more fascinating question. We had Gemaras like this in Maseches Shabbos. What happens if you have a certain food that's less than the shear, becomes tameh, and then it somehow expanded? What if it was a dough, and then it rose, and now it's the shear? So does it become tameh now? Because now at least it's nothing. There was nothing external that was added to it. It just expanded. Or do you say, what if it was big, it was enough of a shear, and then it got smaller? Does it lose its tumah now? Those are fascinating questions that the Mishnah Malach here brings up. Based on the Gemara and Shabbos, we had similar questions in terms of hotza'ah. You carry something out, and it gets bigger, it gets smaller. That's a very important machlokas to be aware of in Hilchos Tumas, Tumas Ochlin. Says the Gemara, second line now. V'tanati don my time alotani Tumas Ochlin. Why didn't our Mishnah list this one? Our Mishnah listed off Eruv and Bayis HaMenuga and making a person Tameh. Why didn't it list off Tumas Ochlin? Mishum Delo Shavi Shirei La Dadi. Because it's not an exact ratio. Not an exact ratio. Titania. Because, after all, Kama Shir Chatzi Pras. How much is Chatzi Pras? Chatzi Pras means half of a half. Pras is a half. Kadei Achilas Pras. So half of a half, that's what we had in the Mishnah. Chatzi Chatzia to Pasol the Gvia. So how much is a half of a half? And then the Tumas Ochlin is half of that. How much is half of a half? So it's not exactly a shear that you could say, the half of that is an exact ratio. That's why our Mishnah left it out. What is it? Kama shear chatzi pras, beis beitzim chaser kima. A little less than 2 eggs. Devei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, beis beitzim sochakos. No, 2 loose eggs. Meaning berevach. Right, 2 nice size eggs. Shear Rebbe, Beis Beitzim Ba'od. Rebbe said 2 eggs plus. Kama Vod, what's that? Echad Me'esher Me'beitza. 2 1/20. 2 1/20. So you see the measurements for the half of a half of a loaf is not so exact. So our Mishnah is not going to say half of that because it's not so exact. There's a little more, a little less. So that's why he just leaves it out. Period. Ve'ilu gavi Tumas Ochlin, Tanya, Rebbe, regarding Tumas Ochlin, Tanya, Rebbe Nosson, Rebbe Dosa Amru, Kebetza Sha'amru, Kamoa, Uke Klipasa. It's exact. An egg and its Klipa. V'cham Amrim, Kamoa, Blo Klipasa. That's the Rambam we just read. Right? An egg without its shell. So you see, the half of a half is an estimation, kind of. And the half of a half of a half is an exact shear. So you can't really put them together in the Mishnah, and that's why our Mishnah left it out. Period. Weiter. Amar Rafa. We're going to talk about, let's just try to get through this Gemara, and then at the end, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about eggs bizman hazeh. Amar Rafa Bar Papa. Of Siyum fame. Rafa Bar Papa. Amar Rav Chizda, Zudiv, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. This is all Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, meaning both of them hold that a half a pras is about 2 eggs. A little more, a little less, it's about 2 eggs. Avo chachamim omrim, kebetzo mechza shochakos. No, chachamim say it's 1 1/2 eggs. Totally different shita. Oman chachamim, who are these chachamim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, right, we know this from before, from earlier. If you do the math, it comes out that he says, right, it's 3, half that is 1 1/2. So pshita. So we just had this earlier. What's Rav Chizda's chiddush? So socha goes also lashmina. The chiddush is that you're allowed to use loose and nice size eggs. Period. Next statement. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Shiger Bunyas Larebi. Bunyas once sent to Rebbe. Mudya de Kundis de bin Neusa. Mudya de Kundis is a certain measurement. From Neusa is a place. So he sent a measurement to. He sent a measuring cup to Rebbe. Vishia Rebbe, and Rebbe used it to estimate Masan Vishva Esre Bayin, 217 eggs. Rashi explains his Sa'ah was 217 eggs. That was the size of his Sa'ah. Sa'ah is one of the larger measurements. 217. So the Gemara says that's a huge Sa'ah. Ha Sa'ah Dehecha, which Sa'ah is Rebbe using? As we're about to see. There were 3 times in history when there were sa'as. And at two times in history, the Chachamim made larger the sa'a measurement. Sometimes we have different names to it, right? We have teaspoons, tablespoons. But remember we had earlier in the Masechta, we had tfachim. We had amos. We have the 5 tefach amma. We have the 6 tefach amma. You have the same amma, but really it's referred to different measurements. Not all we have. We have different names. We have, let's say a teaspoon. quarter of a teaspoon, a half a teaspoon, or this, an eighth of a teaspoon, but it's all teaspoon. But it's all different. So there were different stages of sa'ah. There was the sa'ah in the desert. There was what's called the sa'ah midbaris. There was the sa'ah later on, Yerushalmit, when the Sanhedrin was in Yerushalayim, they enlarged the sa'ah. And then when the Sanhedrin, after the Churban, went up to Tzipori, one of the 10 places that it went, so it enlarged it even more. So with three sa'ahs, the Gemara is about to say a sa'ah has 217 eggs, none of them are that big. So, E de Midbaris, Kof Ben Dalet Havi. A Midbaris has 144 eggs to the sa'ah. V'i de Yerushalmis, Kofayin Gimel. Havi, it's 173. V'it Tziporis, Rei Zion Havi, and the largest you're going to get is 207. So how would it mean Revi has 217? Where does he get that sa'ah from? So the Gemara says, La Ola de Tziporis. Really, it's the Tziporis. Well, I mean the largest one, 207. But what does he mean by 217? I see Chalasa Shadi Alayhu. The 217 includes the amount of Chala that you have to take off. So add the amount of challah that you have to take off, altogether, that works out. What's the shear of challah? As we know, 1/24. 1/24 is the shear of challah. So one second, do the math. You can't divide 24 into 217, but into 207. But at least, what's the largest number under that that you could divide evenly 1/24 in? You have into 192. Into 192, so you get 8. So you add on 8. So add on 8 to 207. So what is that? That's 215. And you didn't even take the extra 7 yet. So it still doesn't work out to be 217, if you understand the math that I just did. Says the Gemara, Chalasa kava havin timne. Even if you want to take the challah, what's 1/24 of 207? Again, but you can't do 1/24 of 207. The largest number under that is 192. So you have 8. And then you have 15 left over anyway. Timne, akati batzer late. Still, it's 215 at most. And it's not 217. So Ella, I see the odios de Rebbe. How does he get 217? Lishitasu up above. Remember, he always adds on 1/20th to his measurements before. So 1/20th of 200 is adding on another 10 to 207. So that's where you get 217 from. Shadi alayu. So he adds in his odios. He has a larger shear. Period. Says the Gemara Yachiyabi Litve. It's though a little more, right? Let's say he takes 1/20th from 207. But so that you still need 1/20th of the extra 7 too, right? It's going to be more than 217 a little bit. Says the Gemara, no, kiva de lohavi kabeitz alo chashavlei. No, it's not going to be a whole egg. It's going to be a decimal point. So 217 is good enough. Period. Fine. Last section of this numbers issue. Tanu Rabbanan. There was a statement made in a brisa. Sa'ah Yerushalmis yisera al midbaris shtus. A Sa'ah Yerushalmis is 1/6 more than the Midbaris, and as Rashi explains, is what we would call a fifth more, because it's a 6th mila bar, but we would call a fifth more. V'shel Tziporis, Yisera Shamishtus, and Tziporis, the largest one, is more than Yerushalmis Ashtus, 1/5 more. Nimseis, and this is the line we're going to focus on, Shel Tziporis, Yisera Midbaris Shlish, the largest one is bigger than the smallest one by a third. Again, we have the three numbers. It's not higher mathematics. The three numbers mentioned was 144, 173, and 207. Those are the three numbers that we're going to be working with. So it says the biggest one is bigger than the smallest one by a third. So how does that work? 207 to 173? How does that work? Says the guy to 144, so shlish deman. Which shlish are we talking about? So, lema shlish demid baris. Are we talking about a third of the smallest? That doesn't work. Why? Michdi, what's a third of 144? Shlish demid baris kamahavi arbon vitmanya. 42. 42, what? So the biggest one is bigger than the smallest one by 42? That's not true. 207 is more than 42 bigger than 144. Vilo otva shisim vishalosh, just 63 more. 63 more, not 44 more. So it can't be a third of the smallest shear. The Ella Shalosh Dirushamas. What? It's a third of the middle one? Shlishdi da kamahavi. What's a third of 173? Chamshin utmanya nachi tilta. Right? It's 57 and 2/3. That's also not the same as 63. Vila otva shisin vishlas. So Ella ditzipori. It's a third of the biggest one. So shlishdi da kamahavi. What's a third of 207, shivin nachichada, 60, a little less than 70, vila otva samakimo, but still, we know that there's only 63 more. So, el amar birmiya, we must have misunderstood the whole thing. This is what was really meant by the statement in the Braisa. Nibses, sa'ashel tzipori, yisera al midbaris. The tzipori sa'a, the larger sa'a, is bigger than the midbaris sa'a, karov lishlishala. It's bigger than close to a third. It's third. So we said its third is about 69. And it's bigger by 63, so that's what it means, karov. V'shlish shala karov l'mechsa de midbaris. And its third is also close to half of the midbaris. Midbaris is 144. Half is 72. So 63 and 72 is also close numbers. Maskav l'Ravina. Ravina's like, midi karov karov k'tani. What is this? It's a game? You know, 69 is close to 72 and it's close to 63. What is this teaching me? What do we I need to know this for, that it's pretty close? So El Amar Avina Hachikamar. Now this is what was really meant to be said. Nimses Shlishel Tzipori Bivaodius Shel Rebbe. Take Rebbe's shear of the biggest. Not 207, but 217. So a third of 217, Yesera, is more than the Mechsa Shel Midbarish Shlish Beitza. What's a third of 217? That's 72 and a third. 72 and a third, so that is more than half the midbaris by a third. Why? Because what's half the midbaris? Half of 144 is 72. So that's the point. A third of Rebbe's biggest shear is a third more than half of the middle shear. And that's pretty exact. Wonderful. Adkan, the issues of sa'az that we're going to have to figure out. There is a major issue, though, that comes up, and that we mentioned before. I'll mention it quickly, but I have to mention it's varchidish, ein beis medrash below chidish. I mentioned the tzlach many times, where the tzlach says in Psachim that he did all the research, and our eggs do not match Talmudic eggs. So either you have to say our eggs are smaller, or our thumbs are bigger. And the Noda Biyuda says, and you can't say our thumbs are bigger. Because I'd rather not say people change, I'd rather say eggs change. And therefore, the Noda Behuda, in a famous comment, all the posts quote it, our eggs are smaller, and really, every one of our eggs is half the size of the Talmudic eggs. And therefore, double every shear, and that's where we have all these bigger shiurim coming in, and the Chazon Ish, and others, assuming that the eggs have gotten smaller. If you look, there's a beautiful discussion in the Shiurin Shel Torah. It's a separate volume of the Stipler, comes with the stead of the Kilos Yaakov. Shiurin Shel Torah, he has all different chapters about shiurin, about math. He didn't skip Erevin da Pegimel Med Aleph. Right, he spent lumdus on it too. So in the first chapter, he says, he has a chapter which the title is it possible that people have got changed size over the generations? Right, so he goes through all the different Rishonim, Achronim, relating to this discussion. But towards the end, he has a very important discussion. He quotes our Gemara. He quotes that, you know, throughout, you can't say Shiurim have changed. Because let's say the Gemara says, how do you know 40 Sa'ah for a mikvah? Because that's what most people can fit into. What? So if people change, the Shiur for a mikvah is going to change. Or you have other Shiurim in terms of a kmitza that the Kohen does. You have all these different types of Shiurim. See, he says, whenever Chazal established a halacha based on a shear, that cannot change. That cannot change. And therefore, let's say 40 sa'ah for a mikvah, that's not changing. Even though the measurement was done based on people in the time of Chazal, and maybe some we got smaller over time, that cannot change. What can change? If there wasn't a specific takanas Chazal, but there was just a reality that was assumed to be true, and you act based on that reality. So then if that reality changes, then the application could change. So here there wasn't a specific takanas Chazal about kezayis, kebetza. We just assumed this was a kezayis, this was a kebetza v'chulu. And therefore, if it comes out that beitzim changed, if kezayisim changed, then memela, the shear will change. Right? That's not like, you know, certain times you find, as the mikveh is an example of it, the Davar Zeh says, "Av basar chasimas haTalmud she'ein shum bezdin ba'olam shebekocho lachlok al Chazal ein lashkia klal v'klal al hishtanes hativim shemachmatam ba'o Chazal lepirusham v'shiurim b'mikros." Just because mitzias changes after the chasimas haTalmud, right? We had a daf bein shiur about this. You can't say that the halacha is going to change because they established it and nothing can change. And you can't say that l'mafreya, you know, they something changes. You can't say that, and that's what actually has, again, a big discussion of this towards the end of this this piece. Very important discussion. This is an Os Tes Vav and Tes Zayin, all the way at the end of Siman Aleph here in Shiur and Shel Torah. But again, it relates to that note of Behuda and others. Vayter, Tanu Rabbanan, here we go. In Yad HaYoma, this week's Parsha, Reishis Ariso Seichem, right, the beginning of your, the first part of your dough, Kideas iso sechem, you have to take a little bit of dough off. This is the mitzvah of challah. Vekama iso sechem, kideas iso midbar. Right? Enough iso, basically, where was this mitzvah given? In the midbar. So it goes by the midbar. So we just list off the calculations. Vekama iso is a midbar, dechsif. Vaha omer asir so efahu. The omer, it says, is a tenth of an efa. Mikan amru. So how do you know? Zayin revayim kemach va'od chayevas b'challah. So if you do the math, a tenth of an efa, based on what we said before, Zayin Revayim, 7/4 of a kav, and a little bit are Chayim and Chala. Shehein Vav Shel Yerushalmios, which are 6 Yerushalmios, as we said before, it got bigger. Shein Hei Shel Tzipori, because the measurements got bigger. And that is the shear, which we usually assume to be 43 plus eggs. That's the shear that one has to take challah from that. Mikan Amru, that's the normal shear. Mikan Amru Ha'ochal Kimidazu, if somebody eats this amount, that's their robust and blessed. Somebody mentioned to me yesterday that this, if you do the math of the, if you look online in terms of the calories of 43 and a third eggs, that's about the amount of calories that is what's advised for a person to have an intake every day. Chazal knew what they were talking about. Right? 43 and a third eggs, that's bari umavorach. Yeser al kain, if you eat more than that, rav tan, you are a glutton, pachos mikan mekul kabameyav. And if you eat less than that, then you're just starving yourself. Right? So you got to have a balanced diet, and in that way, everything will work out. Period. Just one ara. Obviously, in Yonah the Yom is this week's parsha. We mentioned this in past years. Chala, the two mitzvahs that were given to the Meraglim, to try to give them chizuk after they had a gzera that they're not going in for the next 40 years. So they got two mitzvahs, chala and nisachim. Why dafka chala and nisachim? What's the relationship? So Rav Zevin says beautifully, chala tarimu. Chala is lifting up. The lashon is used. Nisachim are poured on the mizbeach. Chala is about going up, and nisachim are about going down. The tachlis of this world is to bring down the ruchnius and to bring up the gashmius. That's what life's about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, yeah, you're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. There was a gzerah, but remember what life's about. The life's about shnei ofanim, milamala lamata, umimata lamala. Meraglim shlo ratzu la'alos la'aretz, ratzu li'sher ba'midbar, v'lios be'bechinas dardeya, that all the eskab, b'chol parnasasam b'lechem and hashamayim, hachub al-chetem, nisachem and chala, mitzad echad, yish lahorid es ha'kedusha la'shisin, going down, and ba'ach l'chem milechem aretz, tarimu truma, to bring it up. So that's Rav Zevin, a take-home Rav Zevin, relating to chala and nisachem. Okay. We continue next Mishnah. Anshe Chatzir v'Anshe Mirpeses. Back to our normal program of Erevin. If you have an Anshe Chatzir Mirpeses, we had this case quoted earlier, a similar case. You have the people in a Chatzir and the people on a porch. Sheshachuv lo Ervu. They didn't make an Erev. They didn't make an Erev. Kol Shekavos. So the question is, we had this type of discussion before. There are certain reshuyos that they both sometimes use. They both have authority to use. To which of the owners do we assign this joint area on Shabbos? So we always go by, as we said before, the one who has an easier time using that area. That's the rule. Whoever, as we had Tashmisho Kal before. So here we go. So Kol Shagavo Yutfachim. What if you have a pillar that is 10 tfachim high? And people put things on the top of that. So the Merpeset, that goes to the Merpeset people, because that's higher up, it's easier for them to use. Pachos Mikan L'Chatzer. But if it's shorter than that, it's easier for the people on the ground to use it. It's if it goes to the Chatzer. Cholias Habar V'Hasela. Similar. What if you have a pit, and you have the dirt at the edge of the pit that goes up, gavah masar tfachim, 10 tfachim high, l'merpeses. The top of that is assigned to the merpeset so that somebody can use it. Remember, if they both can use it, then it's going to be usur on Shabbos. But pachos mikan l'chatzer, less than that is to the chatzer. B'medra m'urim, when do you say all of these rules? Bismucha, if the pillar or the pile of dirt is close to the merpeset where they can reach it. Aval b'mufleges, if it's all the way in the middle of the chatzer, so then they can't reach it. I feel like about yutvachim lechatzer. Then of course it's not going to belong to the merpeset because they can't reach it. Ve'ezehi smucha kol she'ene rechoka ba tvachim. Right, it has to be within four tvachim. That's the reachable. That's the reachable shear. By the way, the Ritva and Rashi also says it must be that what we're talking about here are surfaces that are 4x4 tzvachim also. Because if they're not 4x4, then they're makam p'tur. Then it's for sure mutter for everybody. It's not a shear. So it must be that we're talking about surfaces that are 4x4. I saw one of the Achronim quoted, what happens if you are in an area without an Erev and you have a clothesline with clothing that's hanging outside? So you allowed to bring in, you forgot, oh, I wanted to wear that shirt today. So assuming it was dry before Shabbos, or even that you knew that it was going to dry on Shabbos, so it wasn't muksa at Bein HaShemashes, you allowed to take that in. So they say, based on this, it wasn't 4x4, it's Malkum Ptur. Especially if it's very high up, right? Rosh Hashanah Rabim doesn't go above 10 Tvachim. Rosh Hashanah Yachid, though, a Chatzer, goes all the way up, as we've had. So isn't it a joint area? The answer is, it's a Malkum Ptur. It's not, a clothesline is not Dalat Tvachim. So if you'd be able to take in the stuff from the clothesline, because you don't think this mission comes out of Lamaisa, right? Because it is not an area that has its own rishus. So Pshita, let's just finish, and then we have one more comment we have to make. Pshita, Lezebe Pesach. So if both of them have equal ways to get to the area, Hainu Chalon Shmei Shechatzeros. So if everything's equal, then basically it's a problem because, you know, they both have equal authority. Lezebezrika, if they both could use it by throwing on it, Hainu Kosel Shmei Shechatzeros. That's what we had earlier. Also, a Kosel between two, so, you know, nobody wins. Lezebezshilsh, if they both can reach down into the pit, Hainu Charet Shmei Shechatzeros. Also discussed earlier. What happens though, Lezebe Pesach, Lezebe Zrika? What if one person could get to it easily, but Pesach, and one person has to throw Hainu Drava Barafuna, Amar Rav Nachman? That also, he said, the Pesach one works, wins, because it's easier for them. Lezebe Pesach, Lezebe Shilshul. What if one also straight, and one has to bend down? Hainu Drav Shizzi, Amar Rav Nachman. All of those have been discussed before. And the rule again is, if it's equal, then it's a problem. If it's easier for one, then it's not a problem. But what happens if one's going to have to reach up and one's going to have to reach down? It's not easy exactly for both of them, but they both have to reach. So my. So I'm a Rav, Shneim Asur, and Rav says they're both Asur because they're both equal. Equally difficult and challenging. V'shmol Amar, no. You give it to the one bending down. Bending down is easier than lifting up. We view the one that has to bend, it's easier to use the area in a pit than to use the area on top of a wall. Period. So that's why we give it to that one. Just one final ha'ara, and that is, the Mishnah said, Anshei Chatzer sheshachachu velo irvu. What do you mean they forgot? What's that lashon of shachach that they forgot? Usually, you know, it doesn't sound like they were going to and they forgot. So what's that lashon? Kashaksas, says the Tosfos Yontif. Listi shalo irvu. Just say they didn't make an Erev between them. What do you mean forgot? V'nira li, he says, shachach is always by something that is remembered. You're in the parsha of remembering and then you forget. If it's never on your mind, then you don't use the lashon of shachach. Shachach is always when it's there, she'er v'la'atz, but here they made an Erev for themselves and then they didn't make an Erev between them. That's why I use the lashon of shachach. But if it's never on your mind, then you don't use the lashon. He says, domeh, I'll give you two examples. What did it say by the Sar HaMashkim? V'lo zachar shar HaMashkim v'yishkachehu. First it says, lo zachru klau, and then after he remembered, he forgot again. So forgetting is always when you're in the parsha of remembering and then you forget. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe caused him to forget. Shetz shachach. Or, zachar es yishur asach ha-malek, lo tishkach. Again, remember it, and once you're in the remembering world, then don't forget. Sheshichacha hu ma'amar al hadavar, shehu muzkar v'nishkach. Right, that's just an ha'arav. The Tosfos Yontif, why it says v'shachachu, because they made an erev for themselves. They just didn't make an erev between them, and that's why it's appropriate to use the word v'shachachu. Okay, we'll stop here. B'Hashem, we will continue, B'Hashem, in Ketz HaMishtatfim, on tomorrow's daf.